Welcome to Searching the Scriptures. I am Jerry Dennison, one of the ministers of the Pine Top Church of Christ. I encourage you to open your Bible and to search the Scripture with me to see whether or not the things we teach are true. Acts chapter 17, verse 11 commends the Jews of Berea for searching the Scriptures to see whether or not the things taught by the Apostle Paul were true. That should be our attitude also. If you have questions or comments regarding anything that we teach, we would like the opportunity to study the Bible with you. You may email us at pinetopchurchofchrist@gmail.com or like us on Facebook, visit our website, www.pinetopcoc.org. Our desire and intent is to speak where the Bible speaks and to be silent where the Bible is silent, that we may indeed speak as the oracles of God. We invite you to the services of the Pine Top Church of Christ, 1102 Pine Top Road, Russell Springs, Kentucky, in the Windsor community of Russell County. We normally have Bible class beginning at 9 o'clock Central Time, followed by our worship service at 9:45, and then meet again at 4:30 Sunday evening. However, due to this current pandemic, we are having one service at 10:30 and broadcasting on 97.9 FM in our parking lot. Certainly, we have not experienced anything like the past several months in our lifetime. The Spanish flu pandemic, beginning in 1918, which infected about one-third of the world population and had about a 1 or 2% mortality rate, was before we were born. I have read newspaper reprints of how many resisted the efforts of the government to require facial coverings and to follow the procedures that would help to prevent the spread of that disease. How many today are resisting the efforts of government officials to protect us from this virus? Today, let's search the Scriptures to see if there has been any instruction for our behavior at a time such as this. Paul told the Christians at Rome in chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, "Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resists the power resists the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake." Peter also instructed in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or to governors, or unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well." If we refuse to follow the orders of the governor, are we not then being disobedient to God? Disobedience to God is sin. Have you heard someone quote Acts chapter 5, verse 28, where the apostles told the Jewish council that we ought to obey God rather than men? Where is the commands of God that are being violated by following the guidelines to stop this virus? With the technology of today, we can assemble virtually or by transmitting to radios in the parking lot. Where did God command that the assembly be in the church building? As Acts chapter 16 and verse 13 and 14 states, Paul went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was being made and some women were worshiping God and having prayer. It was there that he taught Lydia and her household. This is where the church at Philippi started. Another result of our not obeying the orders for this disease is the example that we are setting. I know a young teenager who, after observing the number of Christians refusing to obey the governmental orders, asked if she could ignore an order that she didn't like or didn't agree with. We often hear people talk about their rights and that the government is taking away their constitutional rights. If we go back to the beginning of time recorded in the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve didn't have a document called the Constitution of the Garden of Eden, but God had created them and placed them in the garden with some commands. They were created as free moral agents and could choose whether or not to obey. They had the right to disobey. However, that right did not give them immunity from punishment for disobedience. James said in chapter 2, verse 10, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For if we do not obey one law because we don't like it or don't agree with it, then would we not simply ignore or not obey any other law that we didn't want to? Therefore, we are guilty of the whole law." As we read from Romans before, Paul said to obey the laws for conscience sake, not just because that we may be punished. How many today have had their consciences seared, as Paul told Timothy that many would do in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Then in verse 12, Paul instructed Timothy, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Some may say that Paul was writing to a preacher, and indeed a preacher should live a life that sets an example of obedience for others to follow. When Paul wrote to the Philippian church in chapter 1, verse 27, he instructed, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, and that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Paul expected each Christian to live a life that would be an example for others. Each one of us will be an influence for someone. Is the example that we set one for good or for evil? If we are disobedient to the laws of the land, then our example is for evil. We won't find the word virus or pandemic in the Bible. But does the Bible teach anything that would give us instructions that would apply to this current situation? God brought the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt, and where they were in bondage, to fulfill the promise that he had made to Abraham. He had promised to make Abraham's descendants a great nation, to give them the land of Canaan, and to bless all nations through his seed. At Mount Sinai, God gave Israel his law. The nation of Israel was created. While the Ten Commandments was part of this law, there were many other details of the law that God gave to them that were explained in the books of Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy that are not itemized in simply looking at the Ten Commandments per se. The law that God gave Israel included instruction as to how that they were to worship and serve him, but it also included instructions as to how that they were to live as a people. It was both what we would call their religious law and their civil law. Today, we look to the New Testament for the law of God as to how that we worship and serve God. But our civil law is laws of the land, of this nation, state, county, and cities. This current pandemic is caused by a very contagious virus that may be deadly. When God gave Israel their law, He included how to control a contagious disease, leprosy. In Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, God has given specific instructions to prevent one with leprosy from spreading the infection. Time will not permit us to read through those chapters today, but I encourage you to carefully study those chapters and to reflect upon the guidelines and orders that were given to stop the spread of leprosy and to stop the spread of this virus. Notice the conditions that required that one be shut up for 7 days or to live without the camp or the city. We would call that being quarantined. Also, notice the number of times that they were commanded to wash. If articles of clothing were contaminated, the clothing was to be washed or burned. If their house was contaminated, it was to be scraped or destroyed. Today, some people are disobeying the orders to social distance or to wear a mask. Consider the requirement that God gave the leper in Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 and 46, which states, "And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days therein the plague shall be in him. He shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be." The individual was to tear his clothes. The head was not to be covered. And they also had to put a covering upon their upper lip. Would that not be a mask? They also had to cry, unclean, unclean, which would keep others from getting too close. What would we call social distance? And when they had to live outside the camp alone. Certainly this would be uncomfortable both physically and emotionally. But it was God's law to protect others from the contagious disease of leprosy. In contrast to this virus that we have among us, the leper would know that he was infected. Apparently, we can spread this virus to someone else without our knowing that we have it. How many people show little or no symptoms of the virus, but others are killed? If we can spread the virus without knowing that we have it, then is it not our responsibility to take all of the precautions that we can to prevent spreading it to others, even if it's uncomfortable or is a limitation on our activities? Some have said or posted on social media that this will be all over in November. That statement implies that this is simply a hoax created to somehow affect the presidential election. If this pandemic is a hoax, will the lives of those who have died because of this virus be restored after the election? Is the entire medical community in some conspiracy to influence this election? In Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37, Jesus said, "But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." If we will be condemned by our idle words, should we not watch our words, whether spoken or written, or on social media? Let's search the scripture daily. Study the context, consider all the inspired writer said, and rightly divide the word of truth. In so doing, I think that you will come to the conclusion that there is a God, that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ, who gave himself to provide atonement for our sins, that the Bible is his holy word, and that we will face this God on the day of judgment. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Then in verse 21, he said, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Then in verse 24, Jesus said, He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. We show our love for Jesus not by saying how much we love him, but by obeying what he has commanded. His commands are the commands of the Father. Therefore, we need to know what his commandments are so that we can keep them and thus be ready to stand before him to give an account of our life. Thank you for being a part of this study. Until next Sunday at 7:15, have a blessed week.